This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Saturday Suckage. So Cub fans, does Saturday suck for you? I'm Steve Rosenbloom over there. That is Mark Grody. Mark, how are you?
Steve, I am well. Why does Saturday suck for Cubs fans? Do tell.
Well, I think because Cub fans yesterday got a part-time player, Peterson, the part-time player, and the Cardinals are on the verge of getting Arenado, the all-star. Makes a little bit of a difference, don't you think?
It does. The Cubs only had basically a morning to celebrate the signing of somebody everybody knows in Jacques Peterson, which is not a bad signing by any means. In fact, you could even say that's a good signing. But the Cardinals signing happened to be a superb, fantastic signing. And I do hope, that for Cubs fans' sakes, I do hope it didn't take the signing of Nolan Arenado for Cubs fans to realize that they're not going to win this division this year, that it was probably even pre-Arenado. Maybe this will allow you to come to the correct side of the prediction at this point, but even prior to that, methinks that with Kyle Hendricks as your only starting pitcher right now, you were dreaming, no matter how bad the NL Central is or was.
Zach Davies.
Yeah.
He's going to pitch on three consecutive days.
Alec Mills, he had a no-hitter last year.
He certainly did, and his wife celebrated by ordering Pequods. I'll never forget that. Cool. That's just one of the all-time best stories from
Cole Stewart is a Cub.
Yeah, right. The man with two first names.
Last year.
Yeah,
Cole Stewart.
And who are they? And who are they? They're looking at Samardzija and Jake Arrieta and Carlos Rodon and Dick Turkey Neck Hall and Wilmer Vinegar Bend Mazzell. And I think
Dennis
Charlie
Lamp.
Root. I think Charlie Root, because they want to rectify that whole Babe Ruth thing. So they're going to bring in Charlie Root for an evaluation.
Maybe Shelby Miller shall rise again. Shelby Miller in the Chicago Cubs system. So he was good at one point in time. So maybe he'll rise.
He was good again. At one point in time. You know what this kind of sounds like? There was a time in the 90s when the Blackhawks would get everybody who was washed up, or if they weren't totally washed up, they weren't good enough here. So there was Doug Gilmore, there was Paul Coffey, there were just a bunch of guys who were names, people you had heard of, like you said, here's people you've heard of, but right. They weren't good at the time.
Yeah. Anymore. There's a whole list right there, isn't it? Like Chicago teams that got players at the end of their roster, or at the end of their careers, past their prime, like Ken Griffey Jr.,
he made
Tom
a throw,
Seaver.
But he made a throw.
He made a throw. He did make
and
a throw.
Seaver won a game. He won a nice round number game as a White Sox.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Who else?
And Robert Parrish. He was
Bob Parrish.
He was always that the holy grail for Jerry Krause. Didn't matter.
Pass rusher from the Vikings for a couple of years.
Jared Allen.
There you go.
Samardzija was one of theirs. Jake Arrieta was one of theirs. So do you think that's in any way? Because I don't know what. I'm not sure what the Cubs are doing exactly. They're trying to. They're. We're going to scale down and but yet we're going to compete for the division. Used to be World Series, but we can't do that. Is the subtext and then you're listening to a big market team do that, or maybe the Cubs are small market, and maybe the Cardinals are just this major megalopolis from Missouri that we've missed all this time, and they're spending money. So the Cubs trade away their Cy Young guy, and their pitching staff's a mess, and the Cardinals get their third baseman who's an all-star, and they're acting and they're taking on $150 million in contracts. They're acting like the team that can compete, wants to compete, knows how to compete for a World Series, not just a division.
The next Cubs move, and I'm talking about real move, not signing Shelby Miller to a minor league contract, not taking a flyer on Cole Stewart. I'm saying the next guy that we all know with the Cubs, that's going to be the tiebreaker. That, to me, is going to dictate what we'll know for sure which direction the Cubs are going when they sign the next player that everybody knows that is expected to be an everyday or every fifth day player for the Cubs. Because you're right, we had a pretty damn good idea of what the Cubs were doing when they traded Yu Darvish and let Kyle Schwarber go, and then to a lesser degree allowed Lester to go sign with Washington. We had a pretty good idea when Philip Irvin was your starting left fielder. Then they sign Jacques Peterson, and you start to wonder, okay.
Did you just make him French-Canadian?
I did. That was for you. That was for you.
Jacques.
I know you.
Je suis Jacques. Yes.
You're the only one here who could probably appreciate that. With all your Canadianness,
yes,
and hockeyness and Frenchness. Yeah. But, yeah, so the next move is going to – because that was the one that – the Peterson signing was – to me, it was – my reaction was, oh, okay. It wasn't like, awesome. It wasn't like, oh, that sucks. It was, oh, go on. Tell me more. So now I want to know more. So if the next move is, like, let's say a solid two or three starter, one that we've heard of, then I might be like, huh, you know? But if we're talking about a team that is going, like, decides to make a trade, obviously, of a Chris Bryant or whomever to surprise, or Ian Happ, like, that might be the wild card shocker if the Cubs were to do something with Hap at this point. Then you'll know for sure. So I think it's the next real move that the Cubs make that should dictate to the fan base and to us, the media, what direction the Cubs are officially deciding on.
Okay, let's short of that, while we wait for that, I think you're right, and that will... I don't know that opinions will change. I think it will be not much of a surprise for whatever you may have heard of. The fact that you've heard of Jacques Peterson does not mean that he's anything more than a part-time player because he can't hit left-handed pitching. So you've got your platoon player. The way the Cubs are going about this, the way they set up, the way they can sell you on how they're being competitive, pay no attention to that pitching staff behind the curtain, is they can look at this. Because you mentioned Ian Happ and a deal. That if they deal Ian Happ, they would be trading one of the only two regular players, the position players, who played worth a damn last year, who hit worth a damn. Happ and Hayward were it. And then you look at the heart of the order, and you have Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Contreras, and they're all crap compared to what you expected, what you needed. So that what the Cubs can say is, we think if we get more than 60 games this season, that they don't dwell in that. They're going to come back. They're going to bounce back. And then suddenly your 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters in whatever order you choose make it a competitive lineup. So I could see how they sell that, right? Isn't that what you see the Cubs banking on? At some point we're going to get around to the where they make no other moves for position players, for bats, and they say, look, we've got these guys. They've proven hitters, providing they don't trade Bryant or something like that. And then they'll say, we know they can bounce back.
Yeah, but they've had the philosophy of the bounce back every year for the last 3 years in terms of the guys that they have, and it hasn't really happened as a collective or in any real order in terms of the offense being consistent. So I don't know. I just threw Happ out there today because he is a controllable guy, so that makes him valuable for your team, but it would also make him very valuable in a trade because everybody wants controllable players these days. Now, I don't know how much value Happ has based on what was a really good year last year, but you know, he's in do it again mode in terms of what other scouts are going to be watching for Happ. Do it again now. We know that the raw talent is there. We know you put it together for a year, but you all have to get out there and do it again. So I don't know. I guess from an objective standpoint, too, very entertaining to sit back and watch the Cubs because it's the first year since, what, I'd say 2012 that we have an offseason where we really have no idea what to expect. Like, really have no idea. There's always mysteries in every offseason about every team, but this first year I haven't had a good handle on what the Cubs are thinking or what they're going to do and what they're going to do next. Peterson, nobody predicted that. Nobody.
Huh.
Am I right?
Let me digest that for a moment. Yeah, I you're right. That surprised me. What didn't surprise me is the cut rate that they got him for. And what also surprised me, I didn't realize, because they're so different looking, and they certainly have... They certainly have different attachments to their former teams, their former markets, but the fact that they're the same guy, Kyle Schwarber and Jacques Peterson, are the same guy. Kyle Schwarber's career slash line, 230, 336, 480. Jacques Peterson, 230, 336, so far, and 470, so 10 points below Schwarber. And last year, Schwarber was 188, 308, 393. Peterson was 190, 285, 397. They're known for playoff homers in their former cities. They're beloved for that. And I didn't realize they were that similar. So the Cubs essentially save $3 million signing the same guy, but he's not as cuddly, he's not as embraceable, he doesn't have the legendary, you know, maybe there are jock bombs in L.A. like there are Schwar bombs here, but I'm not aware of them. I know he's hit postseason home runs and he's done wonderful things for a team that finally won a World Series, but I didn't, that surprised me that they were the same player. Didn't that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. The difference is, and I don't know if you care or not, but Peterson is a plus defender, whereas Kyle Schwarber was not. So that does change it a little bit. I'd say Peterson is a more complete base runner. He's a better outfielder, and Schwarber's nickname was not Jocktober like Jacques Peterson's is. His was Schwarber. Schwarber.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, offensively, you're right, Steve. I mean, yeah, you could look at the numbers and you can get into the nitty gritty and you could see that, yeah, they are similar players and the other player is a little cheaper. But if you take defense seriously, and I don't care if you do or do not, Peterson's probably the better overall player.
So with the win probability added, Schwarber is 0.09. Peterson, the new Cub, is 0.01, Mr. Blutarski.
How about that?
So, yeah, it's just the same guys, and their WAR's projected to be the same. So, anyways, that's that. I do have some good news about Nolan Arenado. But let's see what somebody who has spent a good deal of time in St. Louis watching Los Cardinales and the team, the contender formerly known as the Cub. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Chris Ranji about the prospective newest Cardinal and the prospective second place at best Cubs. Yes.
Is that for Ranji or for the Cardinals?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is the guy who tweeted this whole thing sounds like ass, and of course, that's why he's joining us. That's Chris Ranji for you. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage, but you figure that out. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Quit screaming at me, dude.
I'm not screaming at you.
You just damn did.
look forward to screaming at our next guest. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Second, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. We go to the guest hotline brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, and we welcome in sometimes of St. Louis, sometimes of Chicago, sometimes, who knows, a man on the run from the law, successfully avoiding all authorities, and he is Chris Ranji. Chris, how you doing?
I don't have a home, man.
I know.
I don't know where to go.
And I think that's to your advantage.
I don't know what to do. I don't know where to be.
Yeah, Chris, I just put on a pot of coffee. Can I get you a cup?
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Come on by.
We were just going to cold call you and wake you up.
No need. I've been up since 6 a.m.
Wow. Why?
That's not true. I've definitely not been up since 6.
That
what kind of crazy person gets up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning?
I do because I'm old. Mark does it because he works.
That's crazy.
I have to.
You remember what that's like?
I was up at 3:30 in the morning the last 3 days.
No, I don't. Yes. I feel like I've been out of work for 9 years, it feels like.
And Mark gets up at before 5 because he's got to make sure he talks with less, and then he does that, and there's a nap, and then he does the afternoon show. He goes on the air to save every show, including this one.
Well, we are all trying to do more with less, you know?
Oh, wow.
I'm a fixer, Chris. What? I'm a fixer. That's what I do.
You are. Wait, how long are you on with Grobber?
You know, Chris, it's actually about 8 minutes, but okay. It typically elicits some little nugget of gold on a daily basis.
Okay. Is it because you've produced it or because he's produced it?
I think it's a collection. It's usually me asking less a question or sometimes antagonizing less about things. And so it's a collection.
It's a collaboration, Mark.
It's a collaboration. Right. It always works. And there's something that comes out of it just about every day. Sometimes we leave the show mad at each other. Sometimes we feel like we've produced something excellent. Other days it was boring. You know, it's something every day, Chris.
And he doesn't forget, you know, like factoids, sports stuff. But I feel like he probably forgets interactions. Like after it's over, you know, it's just he doesn't even know what's happened. Like the next day, he probably forgot everything you talked about. Or if he was mad at you, I bet he forgot.
Right. And if he hadn't, and you're right, Chris, because I'm always a little worried like the next day sometimes. And it's like nothing ever happened. So
yeah.
Wes has some special powers. God bless him, because sometimes I do feel bad, but I think he gets it and he knows it's part of the fun.
I think Wes lives in like 22-hour increments, and that's it. Like once that 22 hours is up, he's reset.
No, it's not even that. It's not even that. It's 19 hours, and then he goes along, and they wind him
by
up
the way,
and take him out of the closet, and he does what he does. And
he doesn't.
And how could anybody be mad at Mark Rohde? See,
that's your
whole premise.
Oh no! Let's not. I don't want to play innocent. Like I do some antagonistic things occasionally. So I don't like. Like, on the overall, I suppose I'm a decent guy, but I'm not a great guy. I am not a great guy, and I do bad things.
I
appreciate that, Chris.
Well, you've had good.
What would you like in your coffee? Would cream, sugar? Yeah, what would you like in your coffee?
That's right. He'd like to wake up. So we're going to pour some coffee in your lap, Chris. So Nolan Arenado to the Cardinals, who were getting $50 million relief. The Cubs have to throw in $3 million to get rid of a Cy Young candidate. Meanwhile, the Cardinals say, yeah, we'll take this guy as long as you throw in $50 million. And that's what happens. So I guess the question would be, is Goldenado better than Brizzo or not?
Oh, that's a good question. I think at this point in their careers, I bet they're about close. Don't you think? I mean, defensively, you know what you're going to get out of Arenado. He's fantastic. So that's a little bit of a bump.
And so is Rizzo.
Yeah, and so was Anthony Rizzo on the other side. But I don't know. I think it's pretty close between the two of them. The only thing Anthony Rizzo is, he's getting older. I mean, I guess everybody technically is getting older, but Chris Bryant's still at a good age. Rizzo's getting up there, but he's still productive. And for Goldschmidt, he is getting up there in age, but he is still productive, though the last couple of seasons he's had more difficulty being productive than he had in the past. Like last year, not 2020, but 2019 for Paul Goldschmidt was kind of, it was still a productive year, but it was down for him. Like what he's used to doing was not what he did in 2019. Like he just wasn't the same guy. So I think there's a little bit of concern that you might get, you know, start to see some drop off in his performance, but he still should be okay. And Arenado, when this deal really gets going, is going to be on, he's going to be 30. And when it's over, he's going to be 35. Like, he still should be productive during those years. But, I mean, you never really know with a player. It could be the age of 33 or 34, things start to tank for him. But I would imagine that both of them would still be pretty good and drive in some runs here, at least in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think right now, if you looked at it, not by much, but I would say right now that Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are better than Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. And I think Goldschmidt has always been just an inch better than Rizzo. Rizzo probably got more attention because of where he played, and with Goldschmidt having been tucked away in Arizona,
right.
I think it wasn't until he came to St. Louis that you started to notice it more. But I guess, Chris, it wouldn't be out of question that Brian Rizzo, if healthy, could have a better season. But I think right now the guys on the Cardinals are a little bit better and probably have always been a little bit better.
Yeah, but I think it's close. You know, I mean, if you compare the tandems on both teams, it's you wouldn't go wrong choosing either tandem.
Correct.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that the Cardinals made this kind of move? I mean, the Cubs were celebrating, like Mark said earlier, getting someone they've heard of in Jock Peterson. And now the Cardinals get somebody everybody has heard of because he's an all-star. So were you surprised the Cardinals would make this kind of move in what is supposed to be, I don't know, a small market or a market ravaged by biblical losses?
Yes, and it's because they've been talking about it for like 3 years. And every offseason we've done this, and every trade line we've done this. You know, when I was on the old show, it was always Nolan Arenado. It's going to happen at some point. And just it never did. So when the rumor came out, what, about 48 hours ago, it was like, okay, yeah, we've seen this movie before, and we know how it ends up. Yeah, the Cardinals have interest. They're talking to Colorado about this. Yeah, that's going to happen. And then it did. So I'm totally surprised it happened. It sounds like the return for him is not going to be you're not going to get any of the top prospects from the Cardinals. Colorado's not. So they're not going to give up Nolan Gorman, who's one of their big third base prospects. I don't know what happens with him next, or at least this is what we know of the deal so far. It doesn't sound like any of those guys are going. Like Dylan Carlson's not going anywhere. Matt Liberatore, their pitcher, supposed to be pretty good, they got from Tampa. Like all of those guys are probably staying in house. At least that's what it sounds like. So they were able to make it happen without giving up any huge talent, which is a good thing for them. I'm surprised they were able to do it. But also, if you look at the way trades have happened over the last couple of years, teams, even if they're acquiring premier players like Arenado, they're still not giving up their top prospects. And you know this in the trade with San Diego. Padres didn't give up any of their top prospects to get Darvish, which it seems to be the trend. Like, teams are willing to part with these premier players, and they are not getting those number one, number two team prospects in return anymore, at least not as frequently as they used to. They're just clubs are hanging on to those young players, even if they are acquiring like a perennial all-star. It just isn't happening anymore. But that said, I still am surprised the Cardinals made this deal, because it's always like they're on the verge of something big, but they never actually do it. I mean, yeah, they got Goldschmidt, and that was the one time it actually worked out for them. But, man, they've done this with Giancarlo Stanton. You know, they tried to sign David Price a long time ago. They tried to bring back Jason Hayward. That didn't work out. They've been on the verge of a lot of stuff And there's always been a lot of talk of, about the things they might do, and then they rarely seem to materialize. So, yeah, it's a little surprising they made it happen.
And the lineup looks good now with Edmund and DeJong and Arenado, Goldschmidt, Carlson, Fowler, Molina, Bader. Chris, tell me about, beyond Jack Flaherty, how's that starting rotation looking for the Cardinals? Because that's now what the key is for them, because the lineup looks set.
Yeah, there's a lot of I don't really know in that. Jack Flaherty, I want to say he's going to be pretty good, and I still err on that side. I mean, last year wasn't great for him, but, you know, I don't know how much you can take away from a two-month season from somebody who had only pitched in one full year prior to that. But I think his talent is good enough for him to be legitimate top-of-the-line number one starter on pretty much any team. I think he has that kind of potential. I think he's going to realize that, but there's always, you know, you don't know for sure. He's 25. Maybe what we saw from him in 2019 was the best he's ever going to be, and maybe he never gets close to that, but you don't really know. I think Kwang-Young Kim is probably pretty good. He had a good 2020 for them. He's probably okay. He's going to be 33, I think, here in a few months. So he's still kind of up in the air. Miles Michaelis is coming back from an injury. There's always a question about his effectiveness. Adam Wainwright, I think, is just going to kind of be what he was. You know, Wainwright's, for the last couple of years, he's steady. You know, he can win a big game for you. He's probably not going to get blown up a lot. So he'll keep them in games, which is kind of what you want from a, you know, a fourth or a fifth starter. But the real question mark for them is Carlos Martinez. I don't think they have any idea what to expect out of him. Like, that guy should be really, really good, but he just hasn't been in the last couple of years. He's had injuries. They moved him to the bullpen. They made him a closer. And then I had been advocating for them to put him back in the rotation, because if he's good out of the rotation, he's way more valuable to you. And he's, you know, he has in the past been really good as a starting pitcher in the National League. I don't know what they're going to do with him, though. I think at this point they kind of have to put him in the rotation, but they don't seem to have any idea how he's going to produce, because he's just he's an unbelievable wild card right now.
One of the things about Arenado, the question that comes with him, the way everybody who leaves Coors Field is, what do you do away from Coors Field? So against the Cubs, his numbers are 299, 353, 581 for a 934 OPS, 12 homers, 44 games. However, in Wrigley, he's a lot worse. 247, 287, 495, an OPS of 782, 5 homers in 23 games. That is at least some, that makes you feel a little better if you're a Cubs fan, because he's a guy who's showing that specific split is pretty drastic. And you have to ask that of everybody. So basically, what is it going to look like when he plays half his games in St. Louis and in those summers?
It's a good question. The ballpark in St. Louis plays average. It's not, it doesn't play big, doesn't play small. So it's pretty fair for both pitchers and offense. And that's the criticism that you're always going to get when you leave Colorado is, yeah, you put up all those numbers, but what happens when you go somewhere else? Well, I'm not saying he's Larry Walker, but Larry Walker had about a 200-point difference in his OPS from home and road in his career. He came to St. Louis. He ended up being pretty good. Matt Holliday had a little bit like that when it came to splits. He was still pretty good in St. Louis. So it could be a factor for him. It could, you know, kind of limit his production. He may not put up the numbers he used to do in Colorado, but I'd imagine he's still going to be, you know, okay. I mean, you don't really know how that ballpark's going to play, but hitters and players in general tend to be better in their home ballparks wherever they play, just because, and it's not always, it's not 100% true, but most of the time it's true. You're just kind of better at home for a bunch of different reasons. You're just maybe more comfortable at home. You know, you're not living out of a suitcase. They're just, you have the home comfort. So I would imagine he's still going to be pretty good in St. Louis. I don't think you're going to see like this guy who's a 900 OPS per year guy go to St. Louis and suddenly he's struggling to get to 750. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think maybe, you know, maybe you see a little bit less from him, but I would imagine he's still going to be pretty good.
So with the signing of Arenado, Chris, does that make the Cardinals the favorite in the division? And where do you think the Cubs fit in the NL Central right now?
Well, I still think they're the two teams, and I think that the Cardinals probably believe they have better starting pitching, and I know we talked about it, but I also kind of laid out a lot of their, you know, if you're really looking at their rotation, there are a lot of question marks in that. If everything goes well for them, that could be a really good starting staff, but it wouldn't be crazy for them to struggle. It wouldn't be crazy. But, and I know the Cubs are going through the exact same thing. Like, right now they don't have anybody to throw the ball except for Hendricks. But do we know if they looked at Samardzija yet? Did that happen, or is that tomorrow?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if that happened yet or not. I know that they looked at Arrieta. I'm going to say yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, like, okay. There's a lot of teams looking at him, so I don't know that that's going to happen. But yeah, I think they took a look at him. Yeah.
I mean, I think that the two teams have comparable offenses, and you know, we already talked about the crown jewels in each of those offenses, but we didn't even talk about Javier Baez, you know, with the Cubs, who's still really good. And I don't think the Cardinals have anybody to match that unless Dylan Carlson ends up having a breakout year. And he's the guy that I like a lot. He's a good dude. We interviewed him once in spring training last year, and he really seemed to have his head on right. And, you know, he came up and did. He struggled for a little bit. They sent him back down. They brought him back. And I think he did better the second time around. But that's the guy they think can be. They could really bust out for them. So if that happens,
what's his story? Where did he come from, man? Was he a draft pick? I don't know much about Dylan Carlson.
Yeah, they drafted him. He is 22 right now. I think he just turned 22 a few months ago. He was a first rounder for them.
Okay, gotcha.
Back in 2016. So he's probably going to be pretty good, but again, he's still young. Don't really know. Like I said, 22. That could go either way. If he ends up breaking out, now you're talking about a pretty decent lineup with Arenado and Goldschmidt. At least the heart of the order is. As far as all the other guys, Tommy Edman, they really like him. I don't know. I think he's fine. I don't think he's a world beater or anything. He's fine. They're probably going to insist on batting him leadoff, which, okay. I don't think he should hit leadoff, but you know how teams tend to put the fast guy up top? Well, I think that's what they're going to do with him, even though I don't think he really belongs there. And then Fowler and Carpenter, those guys haven't been terribly productive. Harrison Bader's not really all that productive. Molina is Molina, so you kind of know what you're going to get from him. And I don't even know if, honestly, it may not even be Edman. I guess it's possible they bring back Colton Wong. But I think as of right now, the lineups are comparable. You might give a slight edge to St. Louis, especially if Dylan Carlson breaks out.
Chris, we appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you responding to the text. We were going to cold call you. You would have been on the air either way at this point. So
I don't mind. I think that's illegal. It's illegal, but I don't care.
No. Well, when Trash Panda does it, it's not illegal. That's the little known codicil that we managed to slip
it's
through.
It's not illegal if I tell you you're going to be on air before I put you on air.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's right.
That's not really a cold call. Then that's not a cold call. A cold call is illegal. You can't just call somebody.
Well, yeah, if I would have straight up called him on air, like with the phone on. Yes, you can't do that.
It's like
I was saying cold call as in, like, I'm going to call him and then see if he answers and then tell you guys. I wasn't going to call him on air because, again, that's illegal.
Oh.
You can call him and say, is your refrigerator running? And then say, you better go catch it.
Go catch it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Way to go, Steve. Hey, thank you, guys. I love you. I miss you.
No,
I'll
this,
see you soon.
This show is ass. Thank you for being part of it. Saturday Suckage has just earned its reputation. Thanks, Chris.
I love you.
Bye, Ron.
Chris Ronji. Running between St. Louis and Chicago and trying to hide from authorities in several states. So that was that. And by the way, Mark, before you even ask the question, You asked a question on Twitter. We got a bunch of answers. And then somebody responded before you even asked the question you'd asked a couple the last couple weeks. Just want to let you know where they were listening from.
Oh, good.
They're so well trained. So we will go to the Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back with that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday's Suckage. This news, the Blackhawks have canceled today's practice out of an abundance of caution due to potential exposure of COVID-19. The Blackhawks organization has and will continue to follow all recommended guidelines to protect the health and safety of players and staff as set by the NHL, as well as local and state agencies. The Blackhawks will not comment further at this time, and information on Sunday's schedule will be announced at a later time. They are scheduled to play the Columbus Blue Jackets again on Sunday. They are scheduled to score their customary one goal and suck at home. So if you have tickets to Sunday night's... Oh, no, that's probably not it. Okay. Anyways, that's the news. And breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. So the Hawks... Patrick Kane played a lot last night, and the Hawks lost again. And it's just a remarkable thing. He's played almost 55 minutes the last two games, and Patrick Kane has not scored a goal.
Well, there was a game a few days ago where he didn't even get a shot off in one of the Nashville games.
Right.
So that was – and the oddest part about that is I don't remember who I heard talking about it, but it was like one of those – Patrick Kane did not – have a shot on goal, and they were like, and this hasn't happened since, and I figured for sure it was going to be like 2010 or so. He was like, this hasn't happened since 2020, so it or 2019, so it actually happened like recently. Like, I didn't think that that happened where Patrick Kane didn't get shots off. So, yeah. And we live in a world where that happens, and Pew Suter gets hat tricks. So that is the Blackhawks world in which we live.
Did you just make that name up? I think that... There's no way this.
No, he's the Pope. They have a Pope. The Blackhawks have a Pope.
We need studs reading more Blackhawks names, like,
yes, please.
Colin Delia,
yes, please.
And
yeah, Kevin Lockett.
You know what's funny?
Just go
okay,
down the roster.
So quick story about that. It's, I don't know if you heard that, Rosie. I totally botched two Hawks players' names in the pick six earlier this week.
Three.
When I was
three.
I botched three of them.
I know you had a
I thought it was
trick.
Two.
Four. Four, if you four. Count DeBrincat, because you call them DeBrincat. He's not DeBrincat. He's DeBrincat.
I don't remember saying that one. Well, whatever.
Let's get the tape.
Botched a lot. So what was funny is before that segment, I asked Ray about one of the guys' names, and for some reason was confident on the rest. Like, I didn't... I neglected to think about, like, the other names that I was going to have to deal with. Like, they looked okay to me. I was like, all right, I got this. And so I asked about Subban's name.
You're stupid. Yeah.
I asked about one name. And that was my mistake. Less, you know, normally I'm better about that, but I was like, yeah,
we've all been
this.
There. We've all been there. And the best part about it is, and you use a technique that I've used in the past when I know I'm overmatched with a name that I haven't proofread. You did like the deep breath. You did the Colin Delia.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've been there, bro. I mean, it sucks. You don't want to be there a lot, but it does happen, and it is understandable.
Welcome to this show.
I mean,
welcome to this show, Trash Panda.
Like you're just looking for like a good old fashioned Connor Murphy in those lists of Blackhawks.
Or Patrick
names.
Kane.
Yeah, or Patrick yeah. Kane.
Or like,
you
give
know,
me
you don't need
at least give me like a solid Polish name. I can nail those. You put a Polish name in front of me, I'll nail it. Probably.
Right. I'm trying to think of the, Pew Suter was not involved in those names. There's one other that you started
Lankinen.
To pronounce it. Yeah, well, yeah. You said Lankinen.
Which,
you
like, that looked right to me.
Yeah, no, I understand. I really do. The Colin Delia, then I'll give you DeBrincat, I guess. Like, a lot of people say DeBrincat.
You just didn't.
You're right. I didn't. I'm not going to do it.
Didn't emphasize the accent enough. Yeah.
I got to be hard on my guy from ISU. And then there was, what was the other one? Because you started to pronounce it correctly, and then you doubted yourself, and you went the other way.
Oh, man, I don't even know.
And I can't remember. And Lord knows you've...
I might
you
still
destroyed
have.
The tape. Yeah, I think you should find it.
Just read the please. Entire roster, and we'll eventually hit on it.
We'll get to the right one eventually.
God, I don't remember who it was, but yeah, it'll come up.
What date? That was the 27th, right?
So that was earlier this week. It's all just a blur. You and I were both doing the mornings this week. God, who was it? What
Saving
is
the station.
It?
I've got the.
You'll want to hear this, Steve, if you haven't yet.
This is
worth the bad radio that's happening right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. Well, keep talking. I'll find this.
Okay.
All right. I'll list. Here are some names, Mark, that came out of the, as we were discussing, the Over the Hill gang, the Blackhawks, not in the Blackhawks, but the Chicago teams always get the people who are washed up, big names who are washed up. And so texters suggested Alan Page, Bobby Orr, Goose Gossage, Bobby Mercer. That's just forever less, isn't it?
Totally. Right fielder. Yep, Cubs, former Yankee.
Right. Greg Maddux, when he wasn't really Greg Maddux anymore.
Great one. That's perfect. Yeah, he was crushed when he came to the Cubs.
And then all of a sudden this pops up from the 512. Originally 815, now 512. Before Grody asks, I'm listening on the app and doing yard work, not complaining about the work as it is outside, and not sure what sucks more, your show or your weather up there.
Wait, where is he doing this yard work?
In 512.
Okay, so it's obviously not in snow-covered Illinois.
No, but it could be something's going to get rocked. And then somebody suggested the all-time washed-up White Sox team. And this is really good thinking. First base, Will Cordero. Second base, Robbie Alomar. Shortstop, Jimmy Rollins. Third base, Chris Sabo. And listen to this outfield. Manny Ramirez, Kenny Lofton, and Ken Griffey Jr.
God, that's so good.
Right. They
that's
also
great.
Had Jose Canseco and John Kruk. John Kruk with maybe the greatest exit in baseball history, by the way. Do you remember that?
The greatest exit?
Yep. Yep.
I don't remember his exit. No.
He got a hit. He's at first base. He called for a pinch runner. He went into the clubhouse, changed, and left a box of Marlboro up in his locker and cleaned out everything else. And that was it.
Oh, that's
See you
so
later,
good.
Everybody. I love great. John Kruk. I all love right. John Kruk, where when baseball teams used to fly commercial, all sports teams flew commercial. And so he's with, I want to say the Phillies. I don't know if it was the Phillies or the Padres. And a woman walks up to him and says, excuse me, are you guys athletes? And he says, no, ma'am, we're baseball players. This is so good. And Ozzie Guillen credits him for teaching him how to swear in English. When he came, they grew up in the Padres organization, and Ozzie says that John Kruk took special interest in helping Ozzie learn English. And what John Kruk taught him was how to curse. He taught him all the swear words, gave him sentences to use, and that may explain why Ozzie needs a dump button.
Studs, you got it?
I found it.
All right, Steve, you're going to want to hear this. Go ahead.
So Steph. I got Subban. Is it Subban, right?
Yeah, you got that right. I know the name. I know the other name now.
It was Boquist. Yeah.
Right, because you said Boquist.
Boquist, yeah. Boquist.
But so you started to say it right.
That's the
Are you
going to
play it? Are you going to play it for us or no?
Oh, no, I didn't find the audio. I was looking for the pick six so I could look at the name, the other name that I messed up.
Yeah, it was right because you started.
So it was
you
only
were
three
like,
names. It was three names I got wrong.
No.
Oh no, it was four.
It was
four.
Lankinen, Delia, Boquist, and Debrinkat.
It was one. I was one for five. It was one for five.
You could sign. You could sign with the Cubs if you go one for five. You could play left field on a platoon basis. They're all about going one for five there.
Hey, if I had a career 1-for-5 average in the majors, I think I would call that successful.
512 is Austin, by the way. And
okay, that makes sense.
I want to be there. 815 was way ahead of you guys, and I just didn't get to it on the message board text line. Boquist. had it right. You said Bockwist.
Yeah. Yeah. And does it make you feel worse that the texters know this, Studs, that people were very much
no, that's good.
They've got their own scorecards and bingo cards at home.
You did make an impression. The best part was Haw laughing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Trying to, like restore order. And
no, it's
like,
good.
Haw had a great line. His line was, sorry, these aren't all Bears questions, Studzinski.
Well, hey, exactly. And what was even funnier is I actually did watch, like, some of the Hawks game the night before, but I guess I didn't
sink in.
Didn't sink in any of the names.
It didn't take. Hey, good for you to allow us to talk about it. I know it sucks because, hey, we've all been there. I've had my crap come back out at me before, and this was your moment, Stud. So God bless
you. Oh, I've had worse than this. This is nothing.
That's true.
Oh, okay. Well, anything Alice needs to know?
Oh, no, she knows.
All right.
Do you not know?
Sweet Alice. I don't know. I'm all for your worst moments if you want to present
them. Whole Ashton Kutcher debacle. Do you not know about that?
Well, you know what? We'll get to that in another segment or Wegner because we have to break. You know, I hate when producers just run us right over and run right.
Oh, yeah.
This
is totally
side.
On me.
And yeah. Find the pick six thing, all right? Let's play it, Adam, unless it really hurts your feelings. Let's find that, too, at some point in time. No?
Okay.
I'm just trying to get you guys to break.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Bears.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to take a break when we come back. We will talk with a man who wrote a wonderful book about the 70s in baseball. He's got a book coming out about the first DH. The age is still not universal in baseball. It's like idiot town. And he had a wonderful story about Henry Aaron and meeting the Jewish Elvis. So we'll get all that from Dan Epstein, former Chicagoan who is now living elsewhere and avoiding our Snowmageddon again. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? or a whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.